shoot from downtown for three. It's 56-45 at the half.
You're listening to Hamster Wheel Sports. Hamster Wheel Sports is a podcast where we talk about macho stuff only. Sports. Sports of all kinds. This year I'm going to hear the sissy crap you hear on the Hamster Wheel podcast about film and indie art and dance and culture. None of that crap. Here it's all about sports and macho stuff like that. So here we are here on episode 2 where we're going to do the Eastern Conference playoff preview. I'm here with Book Bratch.
I'm Book. I ate sissy shit.
Exactly. Now he's talking my language. And we're here with Jordan Minchinton. And we're here to pick up part 2 of our Hamster Wheel Sports playoff preview. Boys, this is how we're kicking off the podcast. This is how the Hamster Wheel Sports podcast is born. And we're kicking it off with our playoff preview. This is part 2, and we're going to talk about all of our favorite conference, the Eastern Conference. Yeah, that's right. It's a better conference. I don't care who said otherwise. Anyways, we're going to start off by talking about a series that I know is close to Book's heart. We're going to talk about the third seeded putting together their second straight 50-win season in a row, the Toronto Raptors versus the Milwaukee Bucks.
Fear the deer.
Do you fear the deer as a Raptors fan?
Do you see that video of that dude in Kelowna that got ran over by a deer? No, it's a classic.
Cue the clip.
We gotta check it out here.
All right, so what are the keywords here? What do I punch in?
I think deer hits man Kelowna. I think that's gotta bring it out.
Deer. Okay, so go on and continue with your point. I'll bring it up. This central to your point?
I just thought it was pretty funny. We should fear deers. There's some dude that, like, I don't know, he's like come from hockey practice or something, and he's like got his bag, and he just steps out of his vehicle and just gets run over. Hey, he's going to his hotel.
I found the article, but I don't know. Yeah, oh, here's the video. Here's the video. It's loading. Okay.
Oh, we even got his name here, too.
This is an ad. I hate ads.
A man in British Columbia, the worst form of hospitality, just outside of a hotel.
He was run over by a charging deer. Carrie McCook was getting out of a truck in front of a hotel when all of this happened. Here's the video. He says he heard 3 gallops to his left, but when he turned to see what it was...
He was not hurt, everybody.
It's because the dude's a hockey player, man. Like, he just shook that off. That's just a body check. Apparently, the deer was getting chased by a dog, and the deer was just running for its life. And it just accidentally, just like the dude stepped out of his car and just ran into it.
Well, thank you for sharing that book, but I honestly thought you were more excited to talk about the Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks. That's why I kicked off our Eastern Conference preview with it.
So, the funny thing about the Raptors-Bucks is I feel like so much of it is going to come down to intangible things. Because in a tangible way, this should be an easy win for the Raps. Like, obviously, Giannis is an incredible player. Middleton's had a really good year since he's come back in the second half. But the Raps are just really well-suited to defend them. PJ, like, they got different guys they can throw at him. PJ Tucker, you know, he doesn't quite have the length, but he's going to play physical, good defender. Carroll's actually surprisingly done well against him, even though Carroll, you know, isn't quite the player he was. Patterson is a guy that you can throw on him. As good as Antetokounmpo is, he's not necessarily... he's not necessarily as explosive as a guy like LeBron, so you can put a Patterson on him, who's got some quickness. And I'd say the biggest weaknesses the Raptors have is that their biggest weaknesses are quick point guards. Sometimes they have trouble containing the ball, and so point guards that are fast, they can get into the lane, break the defense down, and Malcolm Brogdon isn't really that. And the other big thing is three-point shooting. They collapse the paint a lot. They have trouble containing the three-point shot, and that's the big thing that the Bucks don't do, is they don't have three-point shooters. I just think from a a tangible level in terms of what we see in the regular season, I don't think it's much of a contest. It's just like the Raps, you just worry. Lowry has just not shot well in the playoffs.
Last year was such an emotional roller coaster.
They're just so up and down.
Absolutely.
DeRozan, are you trying to say they're a Toronto-based franchise?
The thing is, though, they're actually legitimately good. Like, a lot of those Leafs teams and stuff, I mean, they're flawed teams. The Raps are a good team. I would say DeRozan has... Milwaukee's got a lot of length. And DeRozan has trouble sometimes with length. And they're going to play really aggressive. Jason Kidd likes to play aggressive defense. I think they'll have a similar strategy as that Brooklyn Nets series when Kidd was coached. And they're going to trap DeRozan like crazy. Trap him. And I think what could keep this series close is if the Raps' three-point shooters don't hit their shots. Because they have really streaky shooters. Carroll, Patterson, Powell. Like, those guys' shots can really dry up. So, if they're hitting their shots, I think they'll win. Because I think they're going to trap like crazy. And those guys are going to get looks. And if they don't hit their shots, which sometimes they don't, it could be a long series.
Well said, man. Nailed it. Jordan, what do you got on the Toronto Raptors versus the Bucks?
Man, I think the Raptors expert covered it all for the most part.
You have nothing to say? How do you feel viscerally about it? Because book can't explain how you feel about it. So how do you?
I still have things to say. No, I think I would agree as what you were saying about the different guys and the different looks that they can throw at Giannis. I think that's going to be a preview. Because we all know the Raptors should get through this series. But what we're all looking forward to is them playing against the Cavaliers. And Giannis being a really, really, really big ball handler... It's kind of similar to...
Who can pass?
Yeah, who can pass. It's kind of similar to the way LeBron leads the offense from his position. So this is a preview to see, because going into the playoffs, you look at the additions that the Raptors made, and everything's about, oh man, they got Damari Carroll, they got PJ Tucker, they got Pat, they got all these guys that you can just bodies to throw at LeBron. So this is a first round preview to see, is that going to work?
I think, I think that's a good point for Damari Carroll, because he's been really up and down. He hasn't been 100%, like, I don't think he'll ever be the player he was. And it's like, sometimes he'll have games and he's like, oh yeah, he's playing well defensively, and sometimes he'll look bad. And he's a guy that played pretty well in the playoffs last year. Like, it wasn't his, you know, a lot of guys were struggling with their shots. He was not one of them. He came to play. He played decent defense. Like, Paul George was just insane. Like, he was just... No one could stop him. So I think it'll be interesting what Damari Carroll can do against Antetokounmpo. Because if he can't handle him, obviously he can't handle LeBron. In which case, you're probably going to have to start PJ Tucker and really just rely on him.
What are your predictions?
Raptors 6. I think... They're probably just going to lose game one just to be the Raptors, because Raptors are going to wrap.
Right. Buck, do you think they're going to lose game one too?
No, I think they're they finally don't have a friggin' 9 a.m. start here, or 12 for them. I think Raps in 5. I think having Ibaka, you know, a dude that's gone to the finals, is going to help. And I feel like DeRozan turned kind of a corner this year. In just the sense that, like, the reason he's always shot bad percentages is because, like, yeah, against poor defenders, against poor teams, he can rip them out. But, like, you put length, you put elite defenders on him, like, he'll have bad shooting nights. And he's really gotten better at that, at being able to score on those guys, being able to, you know, use his bag of tricks, using able to use hard screens. And then just... Even beyond that, with Lowry out, teams were just throwing everything at him, trapping him like crazy. Something that he'll see in the playoffs, and he was able to still play off of that, pass the ball. And this year, he was one of the best clutch time scorers in the league. He shot 50% in clutch time situations. So, you know, and in clutch time situations, it'll be similar to, like, how those situations are reffed is similar to how just the playoffs in general will be reffed. which has always been something that he struggled with. He's always struggled when it starts to get physical. So,
DeMar DeRozan is a guy who has only proven that he defies expectations.
Yes, people have capped his ceiling so many times, and he keeps like...
Everyone thinks that DeMar needs to add a three-point shot to his offensive repertoire so he can take more open shots. I think the encouraging thing about DeMar is the fact that he shoots such a good percentage on contested shots, and when you get to the playoffs, when those open looks suddenly become not so open, doesn't really make a difference because DeMar doesn't shoot open anyways. He's shooting contested the whole time.
Well, this is actually the first year, though, that he's shot very well.
He shot very
from contested shots.
But yeah, but he's still shooting areas. He's just balling out. He's absorbed the lost powers of Kobe and has just decided not to miss
it. I buy that theory, actually. The powers of Kobe. And, well, I just mean like, because he was playing a lot better this year, and people were like, oh, you know, is he getting better shots? And it's like, no, he actually took more contested shots than ever this year. The reason he shot a better percentage is just because, I don't know, he just makes more of them now. He's just better at it.
Yeah.
So, because the last few years, he's just kind of been an average shooter shooting contested shots, which is pretty good. I mean, most guys shoot a lot worse than that when it's contested. But this year, he's actually been good when it's contested. Which is why it's really interesting to guard DeRozan, because it's not so much... Obviously, you want to contest, but it's also about not letting him get to his spots, which is why teams opt to trap him, because it's like, even if you play good defense, if he gets to his spot, he's still going to hit it a decent amount of time, right? So it's about stopping him from getting there.
Yep, it's all about gravity.
What I like is that he's an example against the specialization of... basketball, even the development of players in the college, like athletics, where, you know, that it's like putting players in a box. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, DeMar DeRozan isn't an elite player because he doesn't have a three. But it's like, no. DeMar DeRozan is perfecting his game, and we're seeing that. And every year, he gets better.
Well, the slight counter argument to that is like people say, oh, you know, he's an athlete, you don't need a 3-point shot. DeRozan. Like, the only thing stopping him from being a complete, like, elite top-level scorer is that he can't shoot a three, right? Like, he would be better if he could shoot a three.
I believe...
It's just the thing is that if you're really good at other stuff, you can get away with not having a three. It's not that the three's overrated.
Here's the thing. In the playoffs, even though DeMar DeRozan is, like, known as... renowned as a bad three-point shooter, I can see him going up a game and hitting, like, 12 threes. You know what I'm saying?
He's never going to hit 12 threes.
I can see him going off a game because he has that superstar factor where he could just turn it on and take over.
He's gone Kobe like at least 6 or 7 times this year. He's got like that heat check mode where he'll just...
That game against the Celtics that he had, my goodness, I started to hate him.
He had 2 40-point games against him.
I was hating on DeMar DeRozan. I never do that. But when he plays the Celtics, I'm like, this guy had another shot.
The only game they won was when DeRozan didn't play. It's because, like, they don't have a good match, because Crowder's too slow, and Bradley is a good defender, but, like, we were talking about it, though. It's like, if you don't have length, it doesn't matter.
Too fucking like, small. He's a midget.
He's just too small.
They're going to have the same problem with Jimmy Buckets.
We all gave predictions on Toronto, Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
Did you said Raps in five. You said
six.
I say Raps in five. Absolutely. Just a great team. They have everything. Serge Ibaka was a huge addition.
If they could stomp on them and just like Raps in four sweep them and go into that second round with that momentum, I would be legitimately worried for the Cavs.
Hey, let me say this. Anything is possible in basketball. So, since you say Cavs, because I don't want to end with one of the boring series, I'm going to go into Cavs, okay? We're going to end with the big one. So, the Cavs are the 21st ranked defense in the league. They've had a very rocky second half, but, I mean, this is par for the course for the Cavaliers last year.
Never this bad.
I know never this bad, but it's like it seems like that always with the Cavs.
Never this bad, though.
But it's always never this bad with the Cavs.
They were never close to 21st in defense.
They are a joyless team. There's no joy or Or
did you hear what David Griffin talked about this last year? And he said that that's the reason he fired David Blatt. And he said that this team is, because they were playing very well and they fired David Blatt, right? And he said,
first in the Eastern Conference, they fired. How can you get fired?
His justification when he said the team wasn't enjoying playing and they were winning. And they fired him. And then they brought in Jefferson and Channing Frye. And apparently those guys, apparently to that ESPN dude that like has followed LeBron his whole career, and he just wrote a book about the Cavs, and so he got a lot of insider interviews. And apparently Frye and Jefferson kind of brought that happiness, because they were kind of like, this is freaking awesome. Like, they were guys that came from teams that were just doing nothing. And they're also just old guys that, like, I don't know, appreciated the fact that they were playing on a contender, and they brought some joy. And they're also, like, the two dudes that, because of that, because LeBron kind of has a tight control on that team, and they're two guys that can kind of just do what they want, in a sense, because they have that status as veterans, and they're also, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of brought, I don't know, just some happiness to that team, which is what all of us need. I think, in terms of, like, the Cavs Pacers, ultimately, I mean, the Cavs are not the 21st worst defense in the league. Like, I mean, not statistically. I mean, in terms of what they actually are.
Yeah, we all know they're not really trying.
But at the same time, they're not, I wouldn't say they're top 10. Like, I think if they actually tried, they'd be maybe 13th, 12th, you know, something like that. I don't think even if they, even in the playoffs, they won't be an elite defense.
Well, they don't.
Which can be good enough to get through the East, definitely. But I mean, because the Warriors.
They have two franchise cornerstones that are defensive liability. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. So, therefore, they will always have those weaknesses.
LeBron, though, is when he playoff LeBron, is all NBA defense.
Mm.
Obviously, regular season LeBron is not. So, like, that'll be a big difference. In regular season, LeBron doesn't even guard the other team's best player. Like, he only does it in crunch time. So, for example, in this playoff series, I imagine LeBron will guard Paul George right from the beginning. Paul George had an interesting quote, though, because I don't know if you guys watched the last game between Indiana and LeBron. Indiana.
I did. Yeah. Are you talking about the triple overtime?
Double overtime. And Paul George had an amazing game. And actually, they wanted that victory. LeBron guarded Paul George right from the beginning, not Shumpert, which is not what they normally do. And they both had great games. And Paul George says something interesting in the end. And he's like, LeBron, he always brings the best out of me. And it's really true. Like, Paul George, he'll guard LeBron. He always guards LeBron the entire game. And he always plays big minutes. And he always leads the way scoring. And he's kind of got this, like, special factor. Like, he brings it against LeBron.
So you're saying...
I'm saying that...
this series could go long.
Oh, I don't think it will, but I think they'll put up a fight. I think every game will be kind of close, but ultimately, he's got no help.
Lance Stevenson is an X factor, is he not? New edition.
I mean, sure, he is an X factor. I just don't...
can't he just do, like, go back to triple-double Lance, like, fancy Lancey? Like, is that possible?
The problem is, even if he doesn't, it's not a super... I mean, even if he does, like... team just doesn't have a lot. Although, Turner's a good player. I mean, you know, if Lance plays really well, and so he... I don't know, I'm, like, trying to think optimal lineups for them. Teague... who would be their starting two? Ellis?
CJ Miles? Robinson? Roddy Stuckey?
No, not Stuckey. They got rid of Stuckey, didn't they?
They did?
Yeah.
I don't know. Monte Ellis?
Monte Ellis was starting for a while, and then they had Glenn Robinson in there.
I don't know. I don't know if I've watched that one Pacers game this year.
Well, Ellis has been playing better, so maybe...
I know they got a bunch of guys. Al Jefferson, Thaddeus Young.
Well, Thaddeus Young is good off the bench.
Convince you of what? That the Pacers are going to
win a game? I think Paul George will win a game, so, maybe.
Wait a minute, but you're saying the Cavs just shake off this This rat?
No, but you, like, I, you just heard me name the roster. Like, these aren't good players.
Right.
Like, that's the problem.
Right.
Like, I don't think the, I think the Cavs have weaknesses, but it's like, are the...
Because
they're going
to
put...
They don't need to be good.
They're going to put LeBron and Paul George. So, like, Paul George, in a sense, is going to be a little limited. Like, I think he's shown he's a playoff performer, so I'm sure he'll put up some good games. And I agree, I think he's going to steal a game in Indiana. But, like, beyond that, I think we'll... Wait, was T going to take over? Like, what's going to happen?
Maybe Al Jefferson gets in that paint, man.
Jefferson, it doesn't even play a ton. Jefferson was the stupidest signing of all time. Because...
Why is that?
Because they fire Vogel, a good coach, but they're like, we're going to bring this guy, and I'm already forgetting his name. He's going to bring a fast pace. We're going to be a fast-paced team. First thing you do, sign Al Jefferson, the slowest player in the league. The dude that, like, just works it down low in the post. Like, you know. It's like, what? Why are you signing Al Jefferson? I remember Zach Lowe being like, what's going on here? This is the first move they make. Al Jefferson. There's nothing against Al Jefferson. I just mean, like, what are you talking about? He's not fast, though. He's like, he's a perfect fit on the grind team.
Yeah, it's like when the 7 seconds or less sun signs Shaq.
Shaq,
yeah. One of these things is not like the
other. Yeah, like, what are you guys doing?
All right. So, how are we uncovering the Pacers and Cavaliers?
I don't
know. Okay, predictions.
The only interesting thing about this series is how far they can, what the difference is between regular season Cavs and playoff Cavs is going to be. Like you said, they're something like 21st defensively right now, and when they're air quotes trying. Are they going to be top 10? Are they going to be top 5? Like, what are we looking at here? And a lot of people look at that game against the Celtics not too long ago as sort of the measuring stick. Sorry to bring that up. I know that was a painful memory for you. But they kind of mollywopped them in that game. So that's what people are expecting the Cavs to do. I don't know if they do that for the whole playoff run. At this point, their team... They rely on guys like Channing Frye and RJ for heavy minutes. And, I mean, RJ's like 60 years old at this point. I mean, he can still dunk somehow.
It was super surprising, though, that, like...
He's older than Vince Carter.
He was out there in crunch time last year.
I know. And he's going to be this year, too. Yeah.
I mean...
Richard Jefferson was pivotal.
The dude is like...
It was like really, LeBron and RJ.
Yeah.
Brought him back.
He's a big competitor.
Oh, yeah.
He's got fire.
And even on the Christmas Day game, man, he made some winning plays. But, I say Cavs in 6.
Yeah, I'll say Cavs in 5. I think gentlemen sweep. I think they'll go up 3-0. Paul George will pour on a big game in game 4, and then they'll win out.
I think that Paul George is enough to push it to 6, for sure. So, cool. Let's move on. Let's move on to probably, I have it as probably the least interesting series in the playoffs. I'm talking about the 4th-seeded Washington Wizards versus the perennially 5th-seed Atlanta Hawks. I see Dwight's getting benched these days, like, down the stretch of games. Like, they traded away Kyle Korver. They signed, like,
Well, the thing is, though, they traded Kyle Korver, and then they were shopping Millsaps. Like, okay, they're blowing it up. Like, that makes perfect sense. And then they...
Sure, but then they kept him.
Then they're like, actually, we're not trading him. And they ended up, like, going on a run, and they finished nicely. And then, yeah.
But,
had a good year. And then, but now it's just, like, you might end up playing the Cavs, and it's like, you just gave him Korver for nothing. Like, what did you guys do? what is this?
Even just keep him as a sentimental...
Korver's still a good player, like, yeah, useful player. Just
keep him. What are you doing?
But it's also they traded him to the Cavs, the team that they're going to end up facing.
If
they were to beat the Warriors. I don't think they will.
They're pretending to be like that Stan Van, like, Orlando Magic team where it's like, put some shooters around Dwight. But I'm like, then that's your perfect excuse. Just keep Korver on the... They trade him away for nothing. Anyways.
I still, though, like, I don't know. I think it'll be a somewhat close series.
Like, do you remember when the Wizards turned it around early on in the season? Like, the Wizards were... they were like a losing team. Like, what was their worst record at the low point of the season? Like,
it wasn't ever too bad. I think maybe like 8-15, like something like that.
Something like that, yeah, yeah. They were losing a lot of games though, and they
early in the year, yeah, very bad.
It was looking like they were going to disappoint Marching.
For their roster though, they had no excuse to be losing all those games.
Well, they had zero bench, and their bench is still questionable. It's just like kind of, and they're playing their big guys more, which in the playoffs, you know, bad bench you can get away with a little more, but like that bench.
Marcin Gortat, like, ripped the bench once, didn't he? Like, early on in the season, he's like...
Polish hammer?
How did that work? I still don't understand how that works, how Marcin Gortat trashes the bench, and then he gets on every team bus, he gets on every chartered flight with these guys that he, like, literally went out in the media and like, trashed.
It was pretty funny. I remember his... And I remember thinking, are they just going to fall apart?
That's when the team turned around.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team turned around though when Wall and Beal started killing it.
Like, so you're saying like that Marcin Gortat's thing was not a factor?
Because him calling him out, I guess, would have motivated the bench. But it's like the bench started like killing it. It was Wall and Beal. They've been getting it done. They both played great seasons. Mm-hmm. Wall's definitely going to be. I think he'll probably end up being second team All NBA. Was Beal an All Star? Probably should have.
No.
Yeah. But he had a great year. Like, in some years, he definitely.
A good year. And then Otto Porter stepped up as the third wheel.
One of the best 3-point shooters in the league.
Crazy, eh?
I think, yeah. I read a stat that the Wizards had more games where their starting five had double digits than any other team in the league. So, a good scoring balance. You got Markieff Morris. The better Morris twin. Polish Hammer. I mean, in the playoffs where the rosters shrink, teams are playing less players, I mean...
But you got to remember, though, I think just though in this series, Atlanta matches it up decently against him, right? Because, like, okay, they got Gortat, so that I think that's a good matchup for Howard.
I'm convinced Coach Budenholzer, you could roll out like five D-leaguers out there and he would throw together some kind of an offense that would get you a playoff.
And let's not forget, you should know this as a Celtics fan, Millsaps, he can come up big.
Oh, buddy. Last year against my beloved Celtics, he scored 40-plus points, something like that, 44 points.
In a crucial game.
Dude, what about the other night when he was taking on the Cavs and like he brought them back from that crazy deficit in the fourth quarter, and he hit that like game tying basket. Paul Millsap is like,
J.R. Smith was like 75% going out to get it. Like, what? Paul Millsap
is absolutely capable of a Jordan like performance.
No, but let me restate
that. Paul Millsap is absolutely capable of a Jordan like performance any night.
Well,
I don't like he. He's a guy that's shown he flashes. Can take over a game. Every now and then he'll take over a game. He's not going to win a series by himself, but he'll definitely... I could see him taking a game here and there, and he's going to play very solid. He's a very good defender. He's a good scorer. He's a guy that can generate his own shot. Schroeder's a good player. You know, he's shown.
Guys, let me ask you this. So these Atlanta Hawks, after they lost the last game of the season, before that they were... They went on like a 4-game winning streak. They like beat the Cavs twice. They beat the Hornets in dramatic fashion. Do you think that there's any possibility that these Atlanta Hawks upset the Washington Wizards?
You know, that's what I'm just saying. I think they'll put up a fight. And we have to remember, though, the Wizards, they turned it around. They were playing better on both sides of the ball second half of the year. Offensively, they were still great. They're still a great team. Defensively. Ooh, they really dropped off. We were talking Cavs to the Warriors defense. Portland was a second. You want to know who was just above Portland? Like, literally just above? Washington Wizards. They didn't have a good defense. They really struggled just across the board defensively. That's a weakness, you know? So they basically have to outscore teams.
So you're saying their powerhouse backcourt is their only key to victory?
They have to play well. They have to outscore the other team.
There was a time when there was talk of the Washington Wizards being the second best team in the East, wasn't there?
Yep.
Is that still the talk? I think the agreement is that it's the Toronto Raptors, is it not?
Yeah, I think you got to go with the Raptors as the next best team.
Right.
The team that has the best chance at...
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I didn't even realize their defense was that bad.
Yeah, they really struggled down the stretch. They just have a problem of just... Like, Otto Porter is their only good defender. You know, like, who else?
But the thing is, all season long with these Atlanta Hawks, there's been absolutely no consistency. I can see them getting swept, or I can see them having a Cinderella story run in the playoffs.
I think they can beat the Wizards no further.
I think exactly. Ultimately,
well, their next matchup would be that.
Ultimately, who cares either way? Because
Celtics, they can't beat the Celtics. I don't think so.
Whatever the outcome is, it doesn't really matter. Whoever comes out of this series isn't going anywhere.
No, because whoever wins plays the Celtics.
I
Washington could beat the Celtics.
I think this series will be.
It would be a good series. I think it would definitely 6 or 7 games. Like, it'd be a tough series.
Those teams hate each other.
Yeah.
I think Milwaukee's a good litmus test for how good the Raptors really are. This is sort of the same thing with the Wizards. A lot of people want to put the Wizards up there as sort of like on the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. And I think if this is a close, exciting series, then the Wizards aren't head and shoulders above the Hawks. Like, they need to prove themselves as a much better team, or else they're really... I think the Celtics against them in a series, I'd take the Celtics if the Wizards... don't get out of the series with the Hawks, like, in a hurry.
You guys are shitting on the Wizards.
Well, I mean, I would take the Celtics against the Wizards as well, just because, like the Celtics have good perimeter defenders that they can throw at him. Like, you put, what, Marcus Smart on a wall? Like, Smart's the fucking worst flopper in the league. I hate
you guys are getting
but
me.
But he's a good defender.
You guys are getting me jonesing for the last series. Should we switch over?
Can we please stop talking about this?
Okay, fine. One more thing. Hawks, Wiz, predictions.
Wiz in 7. I think it's going 7.
Wiz in 7. Wiz,
Hawks are
going 7.
It's going to be a... It's going to be a battle. Millsap's going to come up big. He's going to have a big night.
Dude, Muscala provides that spark, man. Like, the
Muscala's
Hawks.
A good player. Like, nice guy off the bench. Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis Schroeder, though. Hold on, one more thing. Dennis Schroeder.
He's got a nice voice.
Is that a failed experiment? Or is it... or have we yet to see the...
What are you talking about, failed experiment? He's a good player. He had a good year.
So you guys like Dennis Schroeder leading the Hawks. You like that they traded away Jeff Teague.
Oh, in terms of training, yeah. I mean, he's still only, what, 23, 24? 23? I think 23.
Is Dennis Schroeder and Dwight Howard the future of the Atlanta Hawks?
I don't know about Dwight Howard, but Schroeder's going to be a good player for a long time to come. I mean, Teague's a nice player, but, like, I think Indiana thought that Teague was, in a way, an upgrade on George Hill, and it turns out he was not.
It's almost like... They reached the top of the Eastern Conference. They had a good basketball system. The Hawks were like the best in the East. And then the basketball gods were like, no, you're a middle of the pack team.
Well, the Hawks
like
were
that.
Never the best in the
well,
East.
Well, that wasn't the basketball gods. That was the LAPD that broke Cephalosha's leg.
He got a...
Jordan
the
just...
NYPD.
Yeah, the NYPD.
He just... I think he's getting a couple million for it.
Yeah, he settled for like... I think it was...
He got... Because he was basically saying, hey, the salary I lost, and he ended up getting that.
He got, like, some money, but not nearly as much as he would have made actually just playing basketball. And
yeah, it was funny, because they offered him a plea, which was basically he would serve no jail time, and he would just have to do, like, a day community service, and he's like, fuck that. I'm innocent, you bastards.
Yeah, they had video of that shit.
So he went to court, and obviously he was found innocent, and he sued him, and now he's getting millions.
Man, NBA is rigged. The NYPD's in on it. But like you said, that was
I just love the plea bargain.
Year.
Like, I just love the fact that like the crown was like, hey man, just take this plea. No jail time. No jail time. Like, you're free to go. I don't know.
Jail time for what? You broke my legs.
Well, there's no jail time. They were saying, like, hey, no jail time. You're good to go. You can just walk away. He's like, no, I'm not getting that on my record. Like, fuck you.
Wiz in five. I love the Wizards, man. Wall and Beal, come on. They're going to carry the Wizards out of the first round.
Washington Wizards, as constructed, are a great basketball team.
That was the last word.
We'll cut this all out in the
NBA
ending.
NBA 2K17.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm going to play the Wizards.
But in real life, not so much.
So, all right. So, here's the thing. Let's move on. Last series, guys. This is going to put the icing on the cake for our two-part playoff preview. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the best team in the Eastern Conference this year. The number one seeded Boston Celtics.
Not even exaggerating.
With 53 wins.
True facts.
And they're facing Chicago Bulls. Let me talk about the Celtics for a minute. You got Isaiah Thomas, man. A fifth place MVP candidate. You've got Al Horford. Sorry, what?
Sixth.
What do you mean?
Steph.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hey, man. The Boston Celtics beat the Warriors in the Oracle Arena this year.
I don't give a shit.
Just like they did the year before. Wins. Hey, man.
All right, just continue on. Continue on your rant.
Isaiah Thomas always owns Steph Curry. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, they got Al Horford, who's a guy who will score 14 points, and he will get 10 rebounds, and he will make game-winning smart plays.
And he'll get killed on the boards.
Sure. You got Amir Johnson, who provides. He's the heartbeat of the Celtics.
I love Amir so much.
Amir always, even when he was on the Raptors,
I have such the core of players that turned the Raptors franchise from tanking mid-season to like being a contender when they were not supposed to. I have like such a strong attachment to all those guys. Like that's why I still love Ross. Like even now he's gone, I'm like, I hope you do well, Ross. And Amir. I love Amir. I cheered for him so hard during player introductions when the Celts were in Toronto and I went to that game.
You were just happy to see him.
Well, they called his name. I was like, Amir. And people were cheering. People don't forget.
People don't forget, man. He put in a lot of games in that Raptor Red.
He would play hurt so much, too. Like, he was just... I remember that series against the Wizards... Obviously, they got killed and he was bad, but he was, like, limping, like, that guy. Game 7 against the Nets, he was really hurting, and he was their best performer.
He's a guy who, I absolutely love having on the team in the playoffs, man. He could provide that energy, that leadership. You also got Jay Crowder, who, like, came out of nowhere, really, like, with his... He's a great two-way player.
He's an elite three-point shooter now. That's the big difference. Three. He's always been a good defender, but now he's an elite three-point guy.
3-and-D, baby. I mean, what more could you ask for? And also just intensity and just such a pivotal part of... he's like the almost... He provides what... Draymond Green. Exactly. Draymond Green provides for the Warriors.
He also gets mad about very little things.
Yes, he does.
That's classic Draymond.
Like when Gordon Hayward...
When fans were cheering Hayward.
Yeah.
He was like getting mad.
Utah visited Boston. He was so pissed off that the fans were cheering for
Gordon
Hayward.
When he's commenting on Instagram when like... Jared Dudley put up the picture of Devin Booker holding up the 70. He's like, never seen so many guys happy for an L. It's like, you're such a Draymond, Jay.
Exactly, but the fact of the matter is, you watch any big Celtics game, any big win for the Seas, it's like Jay Crowder who's making all these winning plays, and then you have Avery Bradley.
Well, he's the other guy that's... Well, him and Crowder are both good defenders, and they both took the step this year to elite shooters.
Elite offensive players. So that the Celtics, you're like, wait a minute, they have everything going two ways. The only thing is, Isaiah Thomas is a defensive liability, but he provides so much at the offensive end, but we've yet to see what Isaiah Thomas is going to do in this year's playoffs.
The big issue with their defense They've got great perimeter guys. Obviously, Isaiah is a bit of weakness, but you know everyone's got a weakness out there. You know, Marcus Smart, super good defender. Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder. You know, Olynyk's an offensive threat, but you have other guys to supplement. Like Olynyk and Jarepko are not great players, but I mean at least they have some good defenders there. Their big issue is they have no rim protection, which is going to kill them if they play the Cavs. Because, like, you look, the two games the Raps won, they won it. Obviously, DeMar and Kyle Lowry had big games, but at the end of the day, it was Biombo that won him those games. Even though Biombo is such a, like, single-dimensional player, that dimension he brought is what you just need, though, if you want to win. Like, you need a guy that can protect the rim.
How much money did he get from the Orlando Magic?
$18 million a year.
Nothing against him, man. Like,
but good, he doesn't deserve that.
Good for him. But, I mean, it's really just because he had two amazing, like...
That happens every playoff, though. Yeah. Some random scrub. Biombo's not a scrub, but I'll take that back. But I just think, some random role player, like, just goes off and he gets a big contract. It happens in every sport, too. That's the funny thing. Like, that's just universal.
Jordan, what do you got to say about the Celtics versus the Bulls?
Interesting series, lots of characters. Okay. Everybody wants to see the return of playoff Rondo. Everybody wants to see playoff.
You don't think Rondo's gonna be motivated though? He is gonna be ready to go.
That's what they said last year and the year before that, and I don't know, man. I just don't see it. I think Jimmy Buckets is going to give them problems. Even the good defensive guys that you rattled off. I mean, Marcus Smart probably has the size, but Avery Bradley and IT, poor little IT, are going to get big boy down in the paint. Dwayne Wade's got a good post-up game. I mean, there are arguments to be made, but ultimately, let's be honest, it's going to be Celtics in like five.
What is the edge? Because you're kind of talking me into a bull. You're kind of talking me into a Bulls kind of upset here. Like, because they have Robin Lopez, who I'm a big fan of.
Robin Lopez is insane, but he's awesome.
A rebounder.
Sideshow Bob.
A rebounder and a shot blocker. So those are the two things that the Celtics lack. Rebounding and rim protection. Robin Lopez provides that for the Bulls, and they have a lot of bigs. They have two kind of players who are like elite level, like Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Wade's not elite right now,
but he could be.
Can I sell the Bulls upset team?
Sure.
Like, I just as a. Okay, so the big issue with the Bulls right now is this turnaround has come with Wade out, and it's not so much. I'm not going to completely get on the train that Wade's just overrated, but everyone said, like, when they put together this team, it's not going to work because Rondo, Butler, and Wade, none of those guys shoot threes.
Between the three of them.
All of them need the ball. Like, Rondo, if he doesn't have the ball, he's useless because he's not a spot-up shooter. So, what? Like, teams can just sag off him. Wade is not a three-point shooter, so if he doesn't have the ball, like, what's he doing? Like, okay, Wade, he'll make good cuts. Butler is your best offensive player, so you got to give him the ball. And it's just like the team doesn't work. Wade leaves. They put Rondo back in the lineup. Rondo's getting the ball more. You're working Rondo and Butler. It works so much better. Wade's coming back. It doesn't quite make sense because Wade's going to be back. Like, it feels almost like you got to go back to Carter Williams.
Not to mention, where's Taj Gibson? They traded him.
Such a stupid trade. They're going to miss, like... Because they're going to end up playing... I mean, Portis isn't bad, but they're going to play Portis and that Valen... What's his name? Valentine? Bobby Valentine. Whatever his name is, they're going to play that dude. I don't know. No, actually, though... Okay, so to sell the upset, though, the two things they got going for them. One, Dwayne Wade is one of the greatest playoff performers ever. Like, in terms of raising his play, like, his career stats are really good. And as a guy that's never been a good three-point shooter ever in the regular season, during his long, expansive resume in the playoffs, he shot 36%. Like, there's kind of that magic factor with Wade.
Yeah, if you still...
The other thing is Miritich. Miritich is a funny player because the first half of the year he shot 30% from three. He was terrible. And yet his on-off numbers were still good just because the Bulls have no fucking shooting in their lineup. That just having a guy that you still have to kind of respect Mirotić because, you know, you leave him open, he can get hot, you know, he can have a big game. Like, you still got to respect him. And just the fact that even though he was missing shots, and then the second half of the year, he's been a 40% plus three-point shooter. He's been killing it. And so the fact that he's providing spacing, and now he's actually hitting the shots, he's been big. And so I think the fact that Mirotić is now the starter at the four. So you got Mirotić, you got Robin Lopez, who's been a big time rebounder. He's also got that mid-range shot down. He can shoot it now, effectively. You're going to get Wade back, and you're going to get Butler back. Rondo is a big question mark. I don't know. You might have to go more Carter Williams, but I think they're going to put up a fight. I think Wade has that element to him that he can up his game. And Mirotić is a guy that's, you go back the past few weeks, every now and then, every 3-4 games, he'll pop out 20, 30 points. Like, he's been money. And he can steal a game just going off. The Bulls, you know, are in for a fight.
I'll tell you what. If I'm Fred Hoiberg and my goal is to win this series, here's what I do. I don't do anything at all. I hand the keys over to Rajon Rondo. I start him. I play him 40 minutes a game.
Really?
And then, and here's what happens. The team is successful because you're trusting in Rondo. And that's why Rondo's had such tumultuous up and down experiences in all these different franchises. Because it's like, no, this is Rick Carlisle's team. No, this is the Kings and this is like a fucked up franchise anyways. The point being, in Boston, in the playoff games, in the 2010 playoff game, where he had like 29 points, 18 rebounds, and 14 assists, and that's the year that he took the Celtics to 7 games against the Lakers. And the only reason they lost to the Lakers is because Kendrick Perkins was injured. Otherwise, the Celtics would have been the 2010 world champions.
It's so funny that. Because Perkins ended up being a terrible NBA player.
He had one job to do.
Well, he's just one of those, because there's certain players that when the NBA changed, went from being like nice, useful players to just being awful. And Perkins was one of them, and like Roy Hibbert was one of them. Like, there's guys like, but yeah. Continue though. It's just funny that there were guys that at one point were valuable,
dude,
and now they're
Roy Hibbert, like, three years ago? He was changing the game.
Yeah.
Anyways, point is
verticality.
The point I was making was, Rajon Rondo. Right. What I'm saying is, he's such a basketball genius. His basketball IQ is so high that you have to trust his instincts rather than your own. So. When Rondo's clashing with your system, I swear, man. If I see you both shaking your heads.
He's a basketball genius with no knees that can't shoot.
What I'm saying though, what I just think though is when I was bringing up Wade and Butler in them is that the problem was that you had him out there, you weren't giving him the ball. Because Wade and Butler were just getting the ball all the time, and he's useless.
That's all I'm saying.
No. That's why I'm saying the biggest thing that I think, because I think the Bulls have a ton of things going good for them going into this. They got some momentum. They've been playing well. Mirotić is playing great. Rondo's been playing great. Butler is obviously an incredible player. They've just got they've got some momentum going. Wade just came back last couple games. He's gonna be in here. Issue is that Wade is a good player. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but is he gonna help? Like, just because now you're just running everything through Butler and Wade, and what's Rondo doing, you know?
I couldn't agree more. That's essentially the point of what I'm saying. Even though I don't know why I'm giving intel to the Chicago Bulls, I want them to absolutely lose in 4 games to the Boston Celtics. But this is a weird, this is a really weird matchup. I can't say that I was pleased that the team that I want to win it all, the Boston Celtics, were matched up against the Bulls. I was almost like, oh,
you know,
I hate watching this team.
Also, though, you know, the Celtics and the Bulls, what channel they're opening on? TNT? The TNT Bulls. Bulls. Like, that's just, like, a really weird...
The 20-0 TNT Bulls.
That's what you gotta get that with. The TNT Bulls. The TNT Bulls are the greatest sports dynasty of the modern generation.
You might be fucked.
I literally feel like you just snapped my spine when you told me that it was the TNT Bulls. I was like, Celtics have no shot.
Well, the game's on TNT. I don't know how many they have. I know the Raps Bucks are owning NBA TV, so I feel like they're going to have quite a few TNT games. Most of the Raps games are on NBA TV.
Hey, guys, tell me this. What is your prediction for Celts versus the Bulls? What do you think? Let me tell you something. A guy who I didn't mention, who I just want to give a little shout-out to, as a Celtics fan. Marcus Smart.
Smart. I give a shout-out to him.
Marcus Smart always makes winning plays.
Oh, no, against the Wizards. That's what I was saying, though. Against the Wizards, he's a dude you can put on a wall, and he's just going to hound him the whole game.
Oh, yeah. And but then he's going to hit, like, a weird big three.
Yeah, but if you put Marcus Smart on wall, that means that Bradley Beal's on IT.
No. Beal's on...
Who's, no. Like...
Bradley's on Beal.
Bradley is Beal.
Avery Bradley.
Okay.
Bradley is Beal.
That's a good way to end it, boys. What are your Celtics Bulls predictions?
It confused me for a second. Beal. I was like, wait a second. I was like, no, Bradley.
It confused me, too. Let's call it, boys. Ball game. What are your predictions for Celtics Bulls?
Celtics. I'll give them 5.
Bulls in 7.
Celtics in 6.
Now you said they're gonna sweep. You already gave your prediction.
Yeah, but that was
those sticky poo poo head Bulls, not the TNT Bulls.
Found out about the TNT Bulls.
Yeah, I did. I found out that little wrinkle. Two games. No, the truth of the matter is, there's that dichotomy inside of me that's like, you know, rabid Celtics fan versus, you know, basketball analyst. Hey, speaking of basketball analysis, thanks guys for coming on and joining me for this Hamster Wheel Sports kickoff and the 2017 NBA playoffs preview. Thanks guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hammers.
What?
They're called hammers.
Who? Oh, the listeners?
The listeners
stop,
are called...
Stop. Hammer tap.
Technical, number 23, 3-second violation, number 11. Traveling, number 4.